Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians chapter 6, and reading verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And our subject this evening is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. That's the next part of the Christian armor that we are to put on in this warfare against Satan. And just to very briefly recap on the pieces of the armor that we have had already, we looked at the loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth around the middle of the body. And what did that mean? That means that we are to believe and to know that the word of God is true. And the belt was that piece of the armor that kept the rest of the armor tight and secure. And we must always remember that we put on the whole armor of God, not just some of it. We put on the whole armor of God. But if you don't have the belt of truth, well, then the rest of the armor is ill-fitting. It's not fitting correctly. The belt of truth, well, it holds all the rest of the armor together. It is essential for the other parts of the armor to fit properly. So the belt of truth, knowing that this is the word of truth, believing in the truth of the gospel and being sincere, of course, in our own profession. We are true believers, not just nominal. All of these things are essential if the rest of the armor is to do us any good at all. But then we had the breastplate of righteousness that speaks of holy living, and love for righteousness, for the law of God. We love the law of God. And the law of God, well, it helps to identify us as the children of God, those who live righteous and holy lives, because we serve a holy God. He is our Father in heaven, and we are his children. And then last week, we focused on the feet that were shod or protected by the gospel of peace. Our faith in the gospel, well, it protects us. It protects our Christian lives, all our journey through. And we ought always to be prepared to take the gospel to others. The gospel of peace, we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are to be ready if anybody asks us about our faith. Are we ready, or are we lost for words? Are we unprepared? If we are unprepared, we are not true soldiers of the living God. We are not fit to be in the army. And so we must be prepared to speak about Christ, to share the gospel, of course, that speaks of peace, not prosperity, health and wealth, the one that speaks of peace, eternal blessing, peace with God forevermore. That's the good news, the true gospel of God's grace. But now we come to the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, the shield of faith, well, we all ought to be acquainted, and I'm sure all of you know what a shield is. A soldier would take up a shield in time of battle. And a shield in ancient times would be made out of different materials. Usually they would be made out of perhaps a light wood reinforced with some metal around the rim, a brass rim perhaps. Or sometimes a shield was made out of just several folds of animal skin, perhaps several layers of leather, and that would make up the strength of the shield. It would normally measure 4.5 feet long and 2.5 feet wide, and it was held by the left arm. The soldier would go into battle with the shield on his left arm. The right hand would have the sword. The left arm would have the shield secured by straps through which the arm passed. Well, I'm sure you know what a shield is. But the shield was not always and not even usually used to protect the soldier from those attacking with a sword. Normally in movies, in Hollywood movies, the shield is most often used to protect oneself from those attacking with swords or other hand weapons. But normally the shield was used above the head to protect from any weapons that might be thrown at them. And this is the illustration, the picture that we have here in this verse. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts, something that was thrown, lobbed at the soldier, perhaps an arrow or something, a fiery arrow. They would put the tip of an arrow in tar or some other flammable liquid. They would set fire to it, and then they would fire it at the soldiers. So these would be fiery arrows. And so the soldier had to defend himself against those things that were coming down out of the sky, arrows or darts or what have you. And that would be the primary use of the shield, the main use of the shield, to keep it above your head from those fiery weapons that would come raining down on you. Because, of course, if any of these fiery darts were to hit you, well, they would cause substantial damage. You would be burnt. The soldier who would be hit would be disabled pretty much. And so the shield was a very important part of the Christian armor to protect this soldier from these kinds of aerial attacks. And well, these kinds of attacks, now we're going to focus mainly on what faith is this evening, but these kinds of attacks, well, this is what Satan loves to do. Let's just think for a few moments about how Satan attacks us with fiery darts. When we are tempted, there are two types of temptation, two types. There are those temptations that come from within us, from within our own hearts, the wickedness of our hearts, our desires, our passions, our lusts. There are temptations that come from within us because we have fallen hearts, because we have a fallen nature, and we've lived in this world for so long, and we've given ourselves over to various kinds of sins. There is wickedness in us, and temptations rise up from within us. That's the first kind of temptation, those temptations that are within. But there are a second family of temptations from without. There are temptations within and temptations without. Temptations that the devil throws at us. Temptations that the world throws at us. And these are the temptations that are being spoken of here. The fiery darts of the wicked, not from within, but those temptations that come at us from without. And of course, well, we don't need to go into detail with all of these, but we all know all the temptations in the world around us, presented to us in the media, advertising, even on the streets when we go out, well, when we used to go out and the streets were full, temptations in every way, shape, and form. And they're like fiery darts. They're like fiery darts. One minute you can be fine walking along the street and you're absolutely fine. Then you'll see something or you'll notice something and it'll be like a fiery dart. It will inflame your lusts or your passions or your desires, or it will make you covetous. You will want something, an advertising hoarding, and it'll be advertising something that you don't really need at all. But you'll see it and you covet after it. And you want to spend money on it, something that you don't need. It's like a fiery dart. And suddenly, well, there'll be something that you feel you can't live without it. And So much of the time, Satan loves to throw these temptations all at once, not just one dart at a time. There'll be many darts, so many temptations coming at us to dazzle the senses, as it were, so that we are overpowered, so that the flames of temptation overcome us. That is how Satan attacks us in this world, the fiery darts. And I'm sure you are well aware of these things. And so, well, how do we counter this? How do we counter these attacks of the devil? And it's faith. It's faith. These are spiritual armor, or parts of the armor. This is a spiritual battle against Satan and against his hosts. And therefore, the armor is spiritual. The shield is not a literal shield. It's a shield of faith. Well, let us consider what this means. But first of all, of course, we have to ask ourselves and make it very clear in our minds what faith actually is. What is faith? Well, one of the ways we can define faith is as follows. Faith, essentially, faith is the means by which we receive all the blessings that are to be found in God, in Christ, in the gospel. Faith is the means by which we receive all these blessings. Faith is a receiving grace. That is how it has been described. It enables us to receive the gospel, for example. Faith is how we receive salvation. You can have two people hearing the gospel. One person may be utterly unmoved by it and unsaved by it and doesn't understand it and has no interest in it. The other person, well, can be moved. The other person will know the forgiveness of sin and peace with God and that new birth. Two people listening to the gospel, one is totally unmoved, the other, well, he enters into new life. What's the difference? It's faith. Faith has enabled that man to receive the gospel blessings, not just to hear the gospel and to hear about God. He can receive what he is hearing. He can receive that salvation, that new life, that peace, that joy that comes with the gospel. It's because he has faith. Faith is in him. And that is the difference. And well, of course, faith does not come from us. I've spoken about sin coming from within us, but faith does not come from within us. There is nobody born with faith who is born super spiritual and has faith. No, faith in the scriptures is a gift of God. If you are a born-again believer, you have faith in God, but your faith in God was a gift from God. That is how it is presented to us in the scriptures. Your faith was given to you by God. And is that not a glorious thing? That God himself gives us the faith to believe in him and his salvation. What a glorious thing that is. Our faith is from him and by him and to him. It's from him, it's by him, and it's to him. That's how we see it in the scriptures. Faith, the glorious gift of God. We could never produce faith by ourselves. We are spiritually dead. We are dead in trespasses and sins. And so in order for us to have true saving faith that connects us to the living God, it must be given to us. Well, even in this letter, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Your faith that has saved you is not from you, it is the gift of God. But this faith, once we have it, it continues with us throughout the rest of our Christian lives. We as Christians, we are characterized by faith, and we are saved by faith, we are justified by faith. Even the very nature of our salvation sets us apart from all the other religions by faith. All the other religions, as I constantly repeat, there is some measure of works. Works will save them. Their own religiosity, their own performance, their own spiritual performance, their pilgrimages, their prayers, their works will save them in some measure. But it's not for us. Our religion, our salvation is characterized by faith, faith alone. That was one of the great pillars of the Reformation, that we are saved by faith alone. So we as Christian people, we are characterized by faith apart from the other religions. They are works. We are faith alone. But then, of course, we read in the scriptures that if we have faith, we will have works. If we have faith, we will also have works. Works are the evidence of our faith. That's the evidence that shows people that we have faith. So this is the unique characteristic of Christianity. Our works, a Christian does have works, yes, but it's not by his works that he gets to heaven. His works, well, they show the world that he has faith. His works show people that he has faith that has saved him. And so that is how it works. Our works, our performance, as it were, is an evidence of our faith. And we are saved by faith alone. And so all these things, we could speak at great length about faith, but I'm just mentioning a few things, and I hope this is interesting for you. Our works are a demonstration of our faith, but we are told in the scriptures constantly to build up our faith in our Christian lives. And well, if you were with us a couple of weeks ago, as we began our series in the second letter to the Thessalonians, we noted that the Apostle Paul, this very same apostle, rejoiced that the faith of the believers in that church was growing exceedingly. He rejoiced because the faith of the believers, it wasn't remaining static, it was growing. It was growing exceedingly. And we have, so many exhortations in the scriptures that urge us to grow in faith. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Faith is there to be built upon. And in 1 Timothy 6 verse 12, as we read earlier, Timothy is urged by the Apostle Paul, fight the good fight of faith. We are to build on our faith. We are to exercise our faith. And this is why these things are so important. Faith, of course, also speaks of trust in the Lord, confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what faith is. A.W. Tozer said that faith is trusting in the promises of God in complete assurance that the God of the whole earth cannot lie. Faith is trust in God because God is trustworthy. Faith is complete trust. The Lord Jesus Christ, who of course is God, he was constantly exhorting his disciples to greater trust in him. Greater trust. When the Lord Jesus Christ stilled the storm, when he and his disciples were on a boat on the sea, and they found themselves in the midst of a great tempest and storm, well, his disciples came to him and awoke him, and they were panicked. They said, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? He is rebuking them. They did not entirely trust in the Lord. They did not entirely trust that they were safe with the Lord. They saw their present circumstances as difficult and dangerous and confusing, and they were panicked. And what the Lord was saying was, exercise faith. Where is your faith? What is the point of the Lord Jesus Christ being here, the eternal Son of God? What is the point of believing that if you don't have faith? And that is, well, what we ought to ask ourselves. What is the point of being Christian if we do not have faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, and to worship him if we're not actually going to exercise any faith at all. So faith is about trust. Do you trust in the Lord? Do you trust that he will provide for you? In the Sermon on the Mount, and we considered this not so long ago, well, the Lord was teaching his disciples to consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And he said to them, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Trust in me, said the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not worry. Do you have faith, dear friends, particularly at this present time? Faith that the Lord will provide? God knows all of your needs. He knows your needs better than you do. Are you going to trust in him? Are you going to have faith in him and lay aside all your worries and all your panics and all your doubts? This is what faith is, the shield that we put above our heads. Exercise faith, and all these things will be given unto you. So have faith in the Lord. And well, when we have faith, well, in a sense, the Lord himself becomes our shield. This is speaking about a shield, above all, taking the shield of faith. But we read in the scriptures that God himself is our shield. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, the Lord God says to Abram, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's what the Lord said. I am thy shield. He says this to Abram just before the covenant is made with Abraham concerning his seed. Abraham did not have any seed at that stage. Isaac had not been born. And well, Abraham or Abram, he is beginning to be filled with doubt. But God says to him, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. Trust in me. Don't trust in yourself. You know, when people have problems with faith, it's because they're putting their faith in the wrong thing. They're not putting their faith in God. They're putting their faith in themselves. Perhaps Abraham in Genesis 15, he was looking at himself and his own capability. He was getting old. I don't have a seed, the promised seed. He was looking at himself. I can't do this. But God is saying, look at me. I will be able to fulfill these promises. I am faithful. So, dear friends, if we have difficulties, if we have a lack of faith, who are you focusing on? You must be focusing on yourself. No wonder you don't have any faith. You are limited. You will fail. You will fall in so many ways. If you put your faith in your own performance, well, no wonder your faith is shot. But if you trust in the Lord, you trust in God, your faith will be strong. God will never let you down. God will never forsake you. God will always be there. Even when you fail, God will be faithful. God will help you. God will put you back on your feet and restore you. God will never fail. So, dear friends, if you have trouble having faith, maybe you're putting your faith in yourself and not in God. Remember those words to Abram, I am thy shield. Trust in his faithfulness. And again, in Psalm 84, verse 11, we read, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. He is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, this is faith. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God will not withhold anything? No good thing will he withhold from you if you trust in him? Are you content in the Lord? Do you have faith that he is not withholding anything from you? You know, this is how sin entered into the world. The first fiery dart of Satan that we see in the whole of Scripture is when he attacked Adam and Eve. He threw a fiery dart to Adam and Eve to make them discontent. And what was the nature of his temptation? God is withholding something from you. God is withholding something good from you. He doesn't want you to advance. He doesn't want you to become as a God and to know good and evil. He's withholding all these things from you. That's the fiery dart. And they became discontented and they sinned. But dear friends, we have to hold up that shield of faith. And we have to say to ourselves, if God is withholding something from me, then it must not be good for me. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray and we don't receive what we want from the Lord in prayer. And we get discontented and we think God is withholding something from me. But you must have faith. God will not withhold anything that is good. If God is withholding something, it must not be good for me. God was withholding the tree from Adam and Eve because it wasn't good for them. Because if they ate of that fruit, they would surely die. He was withholding it for a reason. If they'd only had faith, faith to quench the fiery darts. God must be doing this for a reason. God is good. He will not withhold anything good from me. If they'd only had faith, they would have avoided the sin. So, dear friends, we must have faith to avoid those fiery darts of the devil, of the evil one. Have that faith in God. Be contented. Know that all that you have is good enough for you. God is not withholding anything. And give thanks to the Lord. But time is running on. In Proverbs, I just give a few examples from the scriptures of things concerning faith, but this is an important point. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, we read that every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Again, we have that word, shield. And the word of God is mentioned. We cannot stress this enough. Faith comes through reading the word of God. Reading the word of God. Are you reading the word of God? Are you having devotional times? If we neglect to spend that time every day in the word of God, well, it is as though you have no shield. You have no shield against the fiery darts of Satan. I always recommend that you steep yourself in the word of God in the morning, because for the rest of the day, Satan will come at you with fiery darts and temptations, and you won't have any defense. You won't have any shield to brush these fiery darts off, to defend yourself. You have not spent time in the word of God. You have not had your devotion. You will be very vulnerable to these attacks and to the temptations of Satan. And may I just add, just very quickly, we could have spent a long time with this, but may I just add that faith, having faith, is not feelings. Faith is not feelings. So often I hear people say that they cannot have their devotions, they cannot read the Bible. They cannot pray because they feel so far from God. I do not feel spiritual. That's why they don't read the word of God. That's why they don't pray. Well, I can understand that. Sometimes you can sit in front of your Bible and, well, you can read it, but you don't feel it, as it were. Nothing much is going in. And you can pray, you can sit and pray, and you don't really feel that God is hearing you and God is answering you. But dear friends, this is where faith is vital. Faith is far higher than feelings. Faith, well, when you read the word of God, you may not feel as though it's doing any good, but faith tells you that it is. This word of God, it is good for my soul. It will lead me back to God. Even if I can't feel it, it will most certainly, slowly perhaps, but surely, lead me back to the Lord. I do not know the presence of God when I am praying. I cannot feel the presence, but I know by faith that when I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he does hear me. I have faith, even though I feel so low and dejected. I have faith that I am being heard on high. Sometimes people, they bring their sins to God. They confess their sins and they don't feel forgiven. They don't feel forgiven. You don't have to feel forgiven, dear friends. Faith is much higher than that. Simply have faith that if you have confessed your sin to God and have faith that Christ suffered and died for your sins are forgiven. Have faith. This is such an important point because I believe this is a great problem in the churches nowadays. Faith has been replaced by feelings. Faith has been replaced by feelings. This is why in so many churches, they have to work so hard to create a spiritual atmosphere, to work up the congregation to a frenzy with hallelujahs and loud music and low lighting and all these things and staged healings. They have to produce feelings in people. It's like going to a show. It's like going to a cinema. You go to a cinema, you watch a film, it will manipulate your feelings. It will make you feel sad. It will make you feel uplifted. But what it can't do, it can't give you faith. It cannot give you faith. But this is why so many churches have gone down this route. They're trying to replace feelings with faith because nobody has any genuine faith nowadays. But well, at East Dulwich Tabernacle, we don't try to work people up into a spiritual frenzy. We ask people instead to have faith, to have true faith, not feelings. Have faith. That is genuine Christianity, unfeigned faith. And it is this faith that will keep you to the very end, not feelings. It's faith that will keep you. And so faith in the church is particularly important. But I just want to say, just in closing, a few things about collective faith in the church. You know, these shields that were used in armies, they were not just used for individual protection. They were also used quite commonly for collective protection. The shield could be interlocked together with other shields, with the shields of other soldiers, so that the army would have a sort of shell around it as the arrows were coming down, raining upon them. The soldiers would interlock their shields and they would be protected. And you know, this ought to be a picture of the church. Every church ought to have unity of faith. And well, as a church, we ought to strive to be examples of faith one to another. You know, I've tried to explain what faith is in this time, and perhaps I haven't done it very adequately. But you know what the best picture of faith is? The best way you can see faith? It's in somebody else. It's in somebody who has faith. When you go to a church and you speak to somebody who has faith, that teaches you a lot more about faith than anything I can tell you. When you see somebody who doesn't fall to pieces, when you hear how the trials, what trials they're going through in their lives, and yet they don't fall apart. You see that that person has faith, has a real hold upon the Lord. That teaches you so much about faith. Even in the scriptures, in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith, how does the writer teach us about faith? He gives us examples. Examples. This is how you learn of faith. Look at the examples. Look at Noah. Look at Moses. Look at Joseph. Look at Rahab. And so the church ought to be full of people who have faith so that we can look at them and see them and learn from them. Well, of course, it starts with us. We must have faith, each and every one of us. If we don't have faith, how do we expect anybody else in the church to have faith? We must be that example. We must have those collective shields above us, that shell over the church. We are all people of faith. Not one person who has his shield down that does injury to the rest of the church, to the rest of the army. We must have our shields up. We must exercise faith. We must find ways to cause our faith to grow. And then, well, our church will be strong. And what a great witness to the world faith is. Just one final point, 5 minutes, less than that, and I'll be through. What a great witness to the world faith is. You know, unbelievers don't really envy Christians very much. Not in many things they don't. But, you know, there are times when I've heard a Christian, an unbeliever rather, there are times when I've heard an unbeliever ask a Christian with something approaching envy, "I envy your faith." I've heard an unbeliever say that to a Christian. "I envy your faith. I wish I had your faith. I wish when difficult times come, I would have that faith. I could have that shield so that I don't fall apart. So that when trials come, I can be strong and I can be at peace." You know, this is what the unbeliever covets in Christians. Christians, in difficult times, they have faith. So, dear friends, we must have faith for the sake of the gospel. We must be strong. We must stand firm. We must show this world what we have. And so when they come to us and ask us about our faith, we can point them to Christ. Go to Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Go to him, hear the gospel, believe in him, and he will bestow that faith upon you. That is what we must do. We must be men and women of faith, because our faith will lead others to faith. And this is so very important. Well, I hope this has been valuable to you and profitable to you. So many angles we could have taken on faith. But faith, this is our shield, trusting in the Lord, being content in the Lord, and knowing that the Lord's ways are right and good and just. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh, dear Lord, we thank thee for that glorious gift of faith. Lord, we thank thee that thou art the God who gives these things to us. And dear Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest increase the faith of each and every one of us. Help us to have faith. Help us to grow in faith and in trust in thee. O Lord, we know that thou art the God who provides for us. We know that thou art the God who can calm every storm. O dear Lord, may this be our witness, our testimony to the world around us, that we are not as they are, but that we have a hold upon divine resources. We have that like precious faith that will serve us to the very end. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.